In our Sunday school hour this morning, we considered what the scripture says about how a person is justified or declared righteous. We looked at Romans chapter 4, actually went all the way back to Romans chapter 3. We considered the fact that the first three or two, you could say 2.5 chapters of Romans, address the sin problem. The Apostle Paul, through inspiration of the Spirit, spells out the fact that every single person, Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter who you are, who I am, every single person abides under the wrath of God because of sin. And then beginning in chapter 3 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul begins to deal with the solution to the sin problem. In chapter 3 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul writes, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and up all them that believe." We considered what the scripture says about how we are declared righteous. To be justified means to be declared righteous by God. I want you to understand this morning as we begin our time of consideration here in the book of Romans, to be justified does not mean you are righteous. It does not mean that you are a person who sins no more. To be justified does not mean necessarily that you feel righteous all the time either. It means that in God's eyes, when he sees you and he looks upon you, he sees the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it means you are accepted of him in the beloved through Jesus Christ. This is what it means to be justified. And the Apostle Paul made it very clear in chapter 4 that we receive justification. The only way we can be declared righteous is through faith. It's always been that way. Always been that way. He went back to Abraham, he looked at David, and he declares today the way that we can be declared righteous before God is through faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So this morning, the first thing I want everybody here to understand is that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, you have not been declared righteous by God. But the good news is you can be. This is what we declare to the world. God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's not of works. It's by grace that ye are saved through faith. Not of works, as we saw this morning from Romans 4 and Ephesians chapter 2, lest any man should boast. It's through faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Well, the Apostle Paul begins in chapter 5 then of Romans chapter 5. He begins in verse 1. Therefore, because of all that has just been stated, that is, justification comes only through faith. It's not a work. Therefore, being justified, being declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also? That is, by Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, Christ, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. See that word therefore in verse 1 of chapter 5? Because of all that has just been stated, being justified by faith. Paul is restating the previous truths. He's restating these things. Here's what we have in Christ Jesus. Well, That's what I want to consider this morning. I want us to have an opportunity this morning, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you have been justified or declared righteous by God, because you have recognized yourself to be a sinner and that there's nothing you can do to save yourself, and you received the gift of God by faith, I want you to understand this morning what you can know that you have in Christ Jesus as one who is justified. It's an encouraging truth. It's a wonderful thing. So now, beginning in verse 5, Paul discusses the benefits of being justified, or the benefits of justification. I found it interesting here that, notice that the Apostle Paul only begins this here in chapter 5 of the book of Romans. Isn't it interesting that he didn't start with this? I mean, we're told today, really, a lot of times when it comes to speaking with other people or sharing the gospel, you need to start with the positives. Don't be negative. You know, there is even an entire system of sharing the truth that starts out, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And yet the Apostle Paul started in Romans chapter 1 with, you are a lost sinner. And so is everybody. We're all lost. We are at enmity with God. We are under the wrath of God because we are in sin and he is perfectly righteous. That's how Paul started. He didn't start with these benefits of justification, of being declared righteous by God. I find that very interesting. He started with man's sinfulness and man's need. But now that justification has become a part of our lives, and I hope it has for you today, the Apostle Paul discusses what we have then in Christ Jesus. Why take the time to think about this today? I believe because knowing this, knowing what we have in Jesus Christ because we are declared righteous, it will affect every area of your life. It will affect every area of our lives to know this, to understand this. It will affect our behavior. It will affect our minds on a daily basis. So without further delay, six things this morning. That's all we're going to look at. So if you're taking notes, 6 points, it's a piece of cake. It's all spelled out already here in the scriptures. Six things that we have if you have been declared righteous, if you have been justified by faith through the personal work of Jesus Christ. Number one, we have, number one, peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, not works, by faith, we have peace with God. I can't say enough about this. Do you realize what that is, to have peace with God? This peace is not just kind of subjective feeling, like, oh, you know, oh, I feel like I'm at peace with them. I feel like I'm at peace. You hear people all the time saying, well, I feel like I have a peace in my life right now. I mean, that could be a believer, an unbeliever, it could be anybody. I feel like I'm at peace, you know. In other words, nothing's going bad in life at this point in time. And, you know, everything's kind of good and everything seems to be working out the way they want it to. This peace is not a subjective feeling, but it is a knowledge based upon a standing that we have in Christ. It's a knowledge. It's not a feeling. Do you realize that it is possible even for us as Christians, to not always feel at peace? Even as Christians, we may not always feel at peace. In fact, hopefully, when you are not in proper fellowship with God, you don't feel at peace. God has given us a conscience inside, and we know that as we live life, the Apostle Paul deals with this all throughout the New Testament. He says, you know, there are things that I know that I need to do, but I don't do them because I sin. I still am a person who has a sin nature. Peace with God, though. This is not a subjective feeling. It's a knowledge. It is a confident understanding that because of the person and work of Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. When you're experiencing a trial in life, you can understand and remember, I may not feel at peace, but when God sees me, he sees the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. When there is sin in your life and hindering your fellowship with God, you realize, I need to deal with this because I am at peace with God. The idea here is that because we are justified, we are at peace in knowing that we have a relationship with God and we are secure in Him. This is something you can say that nobody else in the world, those who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, could never say. I'm at peace with God. I have peace with God. Over in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 57, God is writing through Isaiah to His people in chapter 57 in verse 19. And God says to His people, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord. And I will hear him, heal him. But look at verse 20. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Notice what God says. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There is no peace. Paul has spent the first three chapters of Romans defining the natural man's relationship to God. He's taken many, many words to do this and define the natural sinful man's relationship to God. What are some terms used to describe the natural man's relationship to God, the person who does not know God? Notice in chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So in other words, we're under God's wrath. Notice chapter 2 and verse 30, chapter 2. I have the wrong text there. Chapter 2, there is no verse 32 in chapter 2. But we are worthy of death. Notice chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Unto them that are contentious, that is those who are self-speaking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. Worthy of death. Anticipating indignation, tribulation and anguish. Paul says in chapter 3 and verse 9, we are all under sin. We're slaves to sin. In chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul says we're unprofitable. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. In chapter 3 and verse 19, we read that we are guilty. All the world may become guilty before God. I mean, these are terms that describe who we are under sin. Our natural state. Under the wrath of God. We could go on. We're alienated from God. Ungodly. Under sin. Here's the word. Guilty. We're guilty. But this is incredible. The justified person now has peace with his or her creator. And it doesn't matter how you feel, if you feel like it or not. The fact is, if you've been declared righteous by God through faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, you are declared righteous and you have peace with God. Peace means we're no longer under the righteous indignation of God. Think about it. Could anything in life bring more peace to one's heart and mind? I just can't think of anything that would bring more peace than to know we are right with our Creator. And it's all because of Him. Peace, number one. Number two, here's something else we have. We have, in verse two, access. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, this unmerited favor, this undeserved favor wherein we stand. Do you realize that now as a church age believer, you have access into the very presence of God at all times because of our standing in grace? Pastor Gary talked about this as he's going through Hebrews. Wherefore, come boldly before the throne of grace. Come boldly before the throne of grace. We have not only peace with God, but He's not a God afar off. We have access to this incredible Creator, Savior, Redeemer. Jesus enables us to enjoy continuing relationship, continuing fellowship with God. What does that access entail? When Paul says here in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, what does he mean? How do we have access? What does access entail? First of all, prayer. I mean, that's the first thing we can think of. We can go to God in prayer. I know it's so commonplace to us, I don't think we wrap our minds around what this means sometimes. We can approach God through prayer. We need no go-between. Jesus Christ is. He's already done it. We don't need a priest. We don't need a sacrifice. We don't need a, you know, we can go directly to God through prayer. Number two, it means we have access to the truth of God's word through a regenerated heart and mind. I love this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Do you realize that because of being justified, we can understand the word of God? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. The apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "What man knoweth the things of a man except save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God, notice, knoweth no man but the spirit of God." Oh, I've said this before. There are a lot of unbelievers out there who know God's word, the Bible, front and back, but they don't know it at all. They can't know it. They can't get it. Because the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, Paul says, we have received, Paul, those who are justified, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. We're going to talk about this more in a minute, but it's true. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Can we wrap our minds around the fact of what this is saying? And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but because we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, because of being justified, we're going to get there in a minute, we can know the things that are freely given to us of God. You can. No, I need somebody to tell it to me. No, no, you can. If you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within because of being justified, you can know the things that are freely given to you of God. Okay, I got to keep going. That's just, I just want to, I could park it right there and dwell on that for a long time. But notice what Paul says, which things we also speak. Paul is saying, I'm declaring to you these things. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost, here it is, the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But here he contrasts again, but the natural man, the individual who has not been declared righteous by God, not justified, the unbeliever, the natural man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Notice, for they are foolishness unto him. Talked about this several months ago, I think, in a message from 1 Corinthians. You realize how foolish it sounds to the natural, unregenerate mind that we need a Savior to save us from our sins, and God became flesh and dwelt among us and died on Calvary's cross and rose again. Now, that doesn't happen today. People don't rise again. And rose again for our justification. It's foolishness to the unregenerate mind. He can't know it. He or she can't get it. Paul says very clear here. They're foolishness. Neither can he know them. Why? Because the truths of God that he's freely given to us are spiritually discerned. See that? We can't just figure it out. We can't analyze it and rationalize it and pick it apart enough and, you know, okay, I've got it all figured out. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Do you realize we have access not only to God through prayer because of justification, we have access to the truth of God's word through a regenerated heart and mind. And see the role the Holy Spirit plays there? We'll get there again in a minute. We'll follow through with that in a minute. Again, we also have access, though, not just to peace with God. The third thing we have access to is the peace of God. The peace of God. We're at peace with God. That's established. But like I said, sometimes we don't maybe feel at peace, sin in our hearts, going through trials, difficult things in our lives, and we just don't feel at peace inside. The Holy Scriptures tell us that we can have access to the peace of God when we deal with those things in our lives that we need to deal with, and we just rest and rely upon Him. Rather than trying to put all the focus on ourselves during the hardships and the trials, we have access to the peace of God. We have access. Go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Notice Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. I've got to pick it up here to get through all six. But in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18, notice this. Paul says, for through Him, that is Jesus Christ, in the context, we both, that means Jew who believes and Gentile who believe, in the context, this is what he's talking about, for through Jesus Christ, we both, believing Jew and Gentile, have access, see this, by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more, you Gentiles, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And we go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Again, Pastor Gary's going through this, so I'm not going to, try to steal anything from him. But in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, we have this reality of having, therefore, brethren, boldness. That means confidence to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us. It's all Him. It's all Him. Through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, notice verse 22, let us draw near. Friends, there is our access. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Brother Jeff talked about this yesterday. What a blessing this was. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That water of the Word of God. What a blessing. Again, note that it is by faith that we have this. Back in Romans, it's by faith we have this access. And it's by faith that we now approach God daily in life. James tells us we're to ask God in faith. Nothing wavering. We are to walk by faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We conquer our spiritual foes by faith. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. So we have access, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We say, Lord, thank you so much. Not only that I am at peace with God because I'm declared righteous because of justification, but I have access. He's not a God afar off, the scriptures say. He's not a God afar off. He's not some transcendent, I set things in motion and this, some kind of theistic deism. And he there is some kind of God, but he's just kind of let us all down here to figure it out. And he's just hands off and okay, whatever. And he wants relationship and fellowship with his creation. That's why he made us. For his glory. Access, number two. So we have peace with God because we're justified. We have access because we're justified. Number three, look at the last part of verse two. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have the ability to rejoice. I'm rejoicing today because of the fact that I'm justified. I'm declared righteous by God. You see, because of what we know, it all evolves around the Word of God. This is the foundation. Because of what we know, and here's what we know, we can expect in the future. What can we expect in the future? I mean, life with God. New bodies to serve and honor God. Because of what we know we can expect in the future, do you realize that we can live our lives each day rejoicing? As we eagerly anticipate new glorified bodies and an eternity with God. This is something Paul elaborates on in chapter 8. This is what he talks about in chapter 8. We're groaning right now. Our bodies, we're groaning within ourselves. All creation is groaning and waiting for the day When we will receive our new glorified bodies, the Lord will come and rule in righteousness. The earth will change. I mean, everything's going to be different as he's ruling and reigning on this earth. And we know that. And so we live our lives today saying and knowing, yeah, things are tough right now sometimes. It's hard physically. It's hard financially. It's hard emotionally. It's hard relationally. It's hard, you know, whatever it might be. And yet we know, because we are justified, we have the ability to rejoice in the hope. Remember that word hope, earnest expectation of the glory of God. Do you realize someday, if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, if you're justified right now, someday you will be totally conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? I mean, that's amazing. Although this is as good as already done, Romans 8:29 tells us we're glorified. It's as good as done. It will happen in all its fullness in the future. Back to Ephesians again, chapter 4, Ephesians 4:13. We read that we are to minister today and do what God's called us to do as we build up the body of Christ. Notice verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When is Christ done and finished with this church age? When is he done with it? When he comes back. Not before then. We can't say, well, things are so bad out there. There's so much compromise in the church. I mean, it's so bad. You know, I just give up on this church thing. We can't. We are to be doing the ministry, the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That happens when our vile bodies will be changed and likened to his glorious body, yet future. When he comes back for us and we're caught up to be with him, with the Lord, and receive those new glorified bodies. But right now we have, because we're justified, the ability to rejoice. Now we come to verse 3. A line of demarcation exists between verses 2 and 3 in your Bible. Because the first two verses deal with our standing in Christ due to being justified. And verses 3, 4, and 5 address our daily walk as Christians and what we have because we are justified. Commentator John Phillips put it this way. He said, our standing is perfect, verses 1, 2, and 3, but our state is progressive, verses 3, 4, and 5. So while the first benefits of justification relate to our standing in Christ, that is, we have peace with God, we have access, and we have the ability to rejoice, the next benefits pertain to our moving on to maturity. Because we have been justified, we have certain things that apply to us on a daily basis. And that leads us to number 4, strength and fortitude as a result of our knowledge or understanding of who we are in Christ. See that in verses 3 and 4? Not only so, another benefits of justification, not just the first three, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Daily life, even as a Christian, is not easy. Anybody ever told you, if you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, man, you're just going to be like walking on a cloud for the rest of your life and everything's going to be great? I hope not. It's marked by trial and testing and hardship. This is life in a fallen world. Yet because we are justified, here it is again, we can rejoice in tribulation. We can rejoice through trial and hardship. Why? Because we know something, okay? Because of something that we know. To sum it up, before we look at what we know, Paul is in essence saying here that we can glory or rejoice in our trials and sufferings because we know that they will mature our character, mature our faith, which in turn takes us closer to where we need to be each day as we anticipate the return of Jesus Christ. So what is it that we know due to our justification? Three things. Number one, we know that our tribulations work out patience in our lives. That's what Paul says here. Paul is a prime example of one who learned to be content wherever he was. Look at Philippians chapter 4. I mean, we've dealt with this before in going through Philippians, but in Philippians 4:11, Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, I've learned this. It didn't just happen when Paul came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. Remember on the road to Damascus? All of a sudden, it wasn't just implanted in Paul. Oh, you're going to be the most patient, perfect person from here on out, and you're not going to have any hardship. No, Paul says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. We know that Chuck and Cheryl aren't content, because this is the state they were in, and they're going somewhere else. We'll deal with that later. Okay? Contentment. Whatever state I am. California. We're in California, so everybody needs to stay in California. I'm joking. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things, Paul says, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul's testimony here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. We're troubled on every side. Well, did Paul know Jesus Christ as Savior here? Oh, you better believe he's ministering for Christ. But we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. You see the Christian life? I mean, there is trouble, there is perplex, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. I mean, there are things, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Notice that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Wow. Notice in Paul's life how his difficulties caused him to actually grow spiritually. You see that? Just in those two texts that we read. The things he went through in life, here we are back in Romans chapter 5, not only so we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Paul grew spiritually because of what God allowed him to go through. So we know that our tribulations work out patience in our lives. This is a benefit of justification, strength and fortitude as a result of what we know. Number two, we know that patience works experience. See that next in verse 3? I'm sorry, in verse 4. Dr. Alvin McLean said the word experience here means proof or testing, for that is what experience is. You enter into tribulation, and that tribulation makes you steadfast. Your steadfastness becomes an experience or proof. But see, it's more than just being tested. Because we're justified, we can actually pass the test. We can do it. So this word experience here carries it with the idea of proven character. So because we're justified, we glory in tribulation. That isn't going around. We're not gluttons for punishment. We're not going around, oh, I wish I could go through more hardship. But whatever God brings in our way, through our way, Paul says, because we're justified, we know that whatever we're going through can allow us to grow spiritually, like the Apostle Paul. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, proven character. We can pass the test. Sadly, I know a lot of Christians who haven't. Hardship comes about in life and become weary in well-doing and just kind of give up. We're justified. There's no reason to not pass the test. Experience, patience, experience, proven character. And then here's the third thing we know. Notice the last part of verse 4, we know that experience leads to hope. So see, the circle is complete. We begin by rejoicing in hope, yet we experience trials, and as a Christian, our response should be patience, which leads to experience or proven character, which comes back to our hope in God. And that's the circle. Earnest and hope. Keep in mind, hope. Earnest expectation. My friend George Zeller wrote, concerning this, one way to illustrate those two verses 3 and 4, is to see it exemplified by Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Stephen, remember, first of all, he was under great opposition and pressure. That's tribulation. Number two, Stephen showed great endurance. He bore up under it bravely. That's patience. Then number three, Stephen passed the trial with flying colors and with divine approval. That's experience or proven character. And then finally, number four, Stephen had a blessed hope, an earnest expectation. Number five, the fifth benefit of justification, not only strength and fortitude as a result of knowledge and understanding through all of our trials in life, but number five, confidence. See that in chapter 5 and verse 5? Notice confidence. And hope maketh not ashamed, our earnest expectation in Jesus Christ, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. You see, those who hope, those whose hope is in Jesus Christ, will never need to be ashamed or disappointed. I mean, I can't say that enough. God will finish what he started. God will finish what he started. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, he that has begun a good work in you, we talked about this yesterday in men's Bible study as well, will perform it, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God doesn't look at you and say, well, I started something really good in Linda. I started something good, but I'm not going to finish it. He or she done too much bad. They didn't pass the test. They've gone through hard things in life and they didn't do well. Friends, we can have confidence. God will finish in us what he started. And as we mature spiritually, we will never come to a point where we lose confidence in God. Now, I said as we mature spiritually. What happens sometimes as Christians? We go the other direction. But if we mature spiritually as we grow, we will never come to a point where we lose confidence in God. We will not come to the end of our life one day and find out God wasn't really serious about what he said all along. It's not going to happen. We can be sure. Why can we be sure that we can have confidence and not be ashamed as we grow spiritually and hope in God? Because look at what our text tells us. God's love, God's agape has been shed abroad or poured out in us. This isn't referring to our love for God or others. It's his love shown to us. What are some of the ways in which God's love has been poured out in your heart and given you hope and confidence? I mean, it starts with salvation. Number one, we're justified. We're declared righteous. And then daily grace. I mean, do you thank the Lord daily for the food he provides, for your meeting your needs, and then even going above and beyond that? The people he's brought into your life, the provision he's made for you, the spiritual gifts he's given you to be able to minister to others in the body of Christ. I mean, these are the ways in which God's love has been poured out in our hearts, and it gives us hope and confidence in the here and now as we live life. Yeah, life is tough sometimes. It's really hard. There are trials. There are hardship. I mean, all these things are going on, but I'm declared righteous by God. And he's given me the strength to get through these things and have confidence in him. I'll never be disappointed in him. Never. I'll be disappointed in myself. I disappoint myself all the time. I'll be disappointed in other people. I shouldn't point out there. Other people. Because other people disappoint me all the time. Okay. Never God. Never. Number six. The sixth benefit of being justified that Paul shares with us here. I've already touched on it. Latter part of verse 5, the Holy Spirit. Wow. Shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to every believer. Over in Romans chapter 8, over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, Paul writes in 8:9, but ye are not in the flesh. But you believers in Rome and here at Grace Bible Church, you're in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If you've been declared righteous by God, guess what happened at the very moment you were declared righteous by God? The Holy Spirit indwelt you. And was it some great, you know, experience? No, it's God doing the work. One primary aspect of the Holy Spirit is his sealing work. We talk about this a lot here. Every believer is sealed by the Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee until the return of Jesus Christ. Back in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 13 and 14, we read, in whom ye trusted, in Jesus Christ, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Is salvation, or is being justified, was it just some kind of like neat experience and feeling? Like, I've heard these testimonies, and I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you what I've heard. I've heard these testimonies. Well, I don't know. I just said I want to change my life, and I felt a warm thing and saw light, and I'm a Christian now. No, I mean, notice what Paul says, in whom, that is in Jesus Christ, ye trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest money, earnest, a down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Amen. Wow. Wait a minute. You mean like there's no way that Holy Spirit leaves and all of a sudden I'm not justified anymore? Wait, it says he believed, in whom also you believe, you were sealed. And how long are we sealed? It's the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption. When is the redemption of the purchased possession? You see him. Under the praise of his glory. And of course, Ephesians chapter 4, go to the end in chapter 4 and verse 30. Love this. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, because he may leave you if you grieve him too much. You know, no. Whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. This incredible gift from God should give every single one of us confidence today. Thank you, Lord. Because I am declared righteous by faith, I have peace with God. I have access. I have the ability to rejoice. I have strength and fortitude as a result of what I know. I have confidence, and I have the Holy Spirit. And then we don't have time, of course, but beginning in verse 6, we discover how all this came about. Wow. For when we were yet without strength, because I couldn't do any of this. You couldn't do any of this. You're without strength. That doesn't just mean you weren't strong enough. It means you didn't have any strength. You couldn't do it. In due time, in his time, Christ died for the ungodly. What a blessing to know that when we are justified by faith, this is what's wonderful, we possess everything necessary to live a life that brings glory to God. God didn't save us and then say, yeah, just figure it out. I mean, you'll find a way. Everybody will find their own way to do it. He's given us everything necessary, something we could never have apart from justification by grace through faith alone. So all I wanted to do this morning is just review this and just remind myself and remind you of what we have to rejoice in through Jesus Christ. We have these, he has blessed us with, Ephesians says, all spiritual blessings. We're not short anything. You know, we're not short anything. And we say, thank you, Lord. And we come together to remind one another and to build up and edify and encourage one another as we go out into that world and be a testimony to other people that come across our path. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful truths that are found here in Ephesians 4 and 5. And I pray, Lord, as we think through these things, we would draw closer to you and thank you and love you more. It's all for your glory. Thank you for your goodness and the grace that you shed abroad in our hearts, the love you've poured out in our hearts. And we just pray now, Lord, that we would go forth from here and people will see that in us wherever you lead us through the week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.